So good.
Here's the pulpit, it appeared. How you doing, everybody? Are you good? So good. I'm just going to set this up in the center just to take care of my OCD. There we go. We're in the center. How's everybody doing? You alive? Me too. It's so good to be in the house of God today. I'm excited. My wife is here, Priya, Angel, and Israel. We're all here. We're so excited to be with you. We've traveled from Mandurah, as Pastor Peter said. And I just want to say, we love your pastors so much. Do you love your pastors so much? If not, we're taking them back to Mandurah today. There's been a big void in Mandurah. They are well respected across the region, in the Peel region. We together ran the pastors' gathering in Mandurah, and we've been building unity and collaboration amongst around 30 churches that are now working together in our area. And Pastor Peter and Alicia are on the forefront of that. And let me just say, you've got the best of Mandurah right here, and you're going to be truly blessed in your journey. Yes, let's give your pastors a big God bless you. The first time I met Pastor Peter, I thought, dear God, this guy, he is so wise. He's like King Solomon. And I remember his early 30s, and just the way he was articulating and communicating, I just thought this man's wisdom was just on a whole nother level to what I have. And you just have to sit with him, and it's like sitting with King Solomon. It's just amazing. God's giving you the best, and your best days are ahead of you. Thank you, three people. It's so good we've got three people that are on fire. No, the rest of you are in prayer. I know you're praying. But your best days are ahead of you. That was, you know, mid-range. Your best days are ahead of you. You are on fire. You're a church that is known. You are known, and you have a great reputation across this part of Perth. And I want to tell you, your best days are definitely ahead of you. And as I speak this morning, before I do speak on Joseph and into your theme, before I start, I actually want to celebrate some good missional news with you regarding the ministry of compassion. How many of you have heard of compassion before? That's pretty much all of you, most of you. I do want to celebrate what you are currently doing. I think that's really important. The last time compassion was at the church, I believe it was around 2019. But you guys are connected overseas in the area of Samar in the Philippines, and are currently sponsoring 16 kids, and that is amazing. 16 is a good number. It might not sound like much, but I'm going to just share with you just for 5 or 6 minutes on why that is a significant number. Let me just say, poverty destroys lives. Poverty destroys lives, whether it's spiritual poverty or physical poverty. It completely destroys lives, and compassion intercepts poverty in people's lives overseas. Compassion itself is a Christ-centered, child-focused, church-based ministry that has been helping people across the world for the last 70 years. It is a reputable ministry. I, as a pastor, we use, as our missions base in our church, we use compassion ourselves because we really believe in it. Just so you know, some more good news. Pastor Peter, myself, and another small group in Mandurah came up with this idea called region to region. Now, what that means is you get a group of churches collaborating together in one area, and they bless a whole other region in another country. Doesn't that sound like the kingdom? Yes, that's I see that clap. We need to clap for the Lord for that, because it doesn't happen that easily. So we've got a group of churches in Mandurah, that are blessing the area of Medan. In the city of Stirling, this area, there's a group of churches, and now you guys are a part of it, that are blessing Samar in the Philippines. And let me tell you, people are coming to Christ through it, as a result of it. We are stronger together as we bless another region. This little idea that came out of Mandurah is now going across Perth, it's going across Australia, it's going to Tasmania, Sydney, Melbourne. God is doing something. Amen. God is on the move, and he's looking for people on the move as well. 16 children, what does that even mean for you guys? Can I tell you, behind each one of those children stands a family. When one child gets sponsored and then discipled in the things of Jesus, they join church, they get involved, they get discipled, up to six family members come to Christ. Isn't that amazing? So when I say you guys have 16 kids as a part of your harvest, it's more like 96 people that are now a part of your harvest as a church in Samar. Let that just settle for a little while. It's almost like there's another Inglewood community over there. 96 people that are a part of this church, because people in this church released people from poverty in Jesus' name. It's amazing what God is doing as we in the Western world look past ourselves and step out and sponsor people that actually come to Christ and are discipled for the rest of their life. They're educated. They're given nutritious food. They're given books, uniforms, and welfare checks and counseling, so that, you know, poverty opens up the doors to predators. So all of that is cut off. And guess what? It's cut off generationally. So their kids are free, and their grandkids, when they grow up, are free from poverty in Jesus' name. Poverty sends a clear message to children. Poverty says, nobody cares about you. Poverty says, nobody is thinking about you right now. Poverty to a child says there are no opportunities for you. You are stuck. Poverty says there's no options for you. There's no jobs. There's no education. You're just going to have to live in the slums. But this morning, together, we can say something totally different. We can actually remove poverty, because while poverty destroys people, it's the kingdom that destroys poverty. And it's the people of God that destroys poverty when we step out by faith. Amen? Amen. I've got a little video that I want to share with you. This guy's name's Anjo. And he...
My childhood life was a very challenging. When we are studying, we have to share pencils. The pencil, you must sharpen it. It will get smaller. But we must use it until it will be... until the eraser or the pencil will get smaller. We lose some hopes because we think we are not getting to high school. Our house is at the back of our church. We have a small window. I can see people are playing. I started go to church 4 years old. I remember I was playing outside. My mother called me, Anjo, you'll take some pictures and they will register you. Compassion Ministry has provided us school supplies, more friends, more connection to others. Also, my sponsor give me a gift every birthdays, so we don't have to share some pencils, some socks, some bags. I remember I said, now I can go to high school. Now I can go to college because of this program. I can feel that every time I wrote the letter to my sponsor, I just imagine I was talking to her face to face. Surprisingly, my sponsor gave it a fund to buy a guitar. It's like an engine to my faith. So I want to give best to God by serving and by playing guitar. Since we started our business to have this printing shop, I said to my wife that it is a business, but it is also a ministry. Back then when I was sad, we're struggling with school supplies. And right now, I'm selling school supplies now. Sometimes I sell the school supplies, especially to the kids, on cheaper price. And sometimes it's free because I've been there, it's hard. I have two kids. It brings me a joy that I can provide. If my sponsor was here, or if my sponsor was watching me, she changed my life. I just want to hug her. We're changing my life, my situation, releasing me from poverty, and releasing me from spiritual poverty.
That's a testimony of a guy that was released from poverty because people just like us stepped out and released them. We took a step of faith. You can do that today. And that's the result of stepping out in faith. I've got a bunch of kids over there. I've got two actually up here. Anything with red, they've been waiting for around 200 days. 200 days for someone to say, will you sponsor me? There's a number of them in red. 200. Here's a little girl. Her name's Jan. She was born in 2020. So she's only four. Look how cute. Yeah, you can't see her, but she's cute. This one's Byron. He's 15. He's been waiting 230 days. Would you release them from poverty in Jesus' name so that their generations would be set free? We have the power to do that. And I ask that you'll consider what the Holy Spirit is asking you today. Because whenever the Holy Spirit asks us to take a step of faith, if he's giving you that nudge, he will also supply your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen? Amen. I'll be at the stand over there after the service. I'd love to even just have a chat with you, at the very least. Let's bow our heads. We're going to get into the word this morning. Father God, I just thank you that you are here this morning. We haven't come to play church. We haven't come to church because it's Sunday. We've come to church to meet with our God and give our King our best praise. And Lord, as we gather around your word, we want to gaze upon Jesus through your word this morning. Holy Spirit, I ask that you'll speak to every single heart in this place. May every heart be transformed into the image of Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody that has needs, I pray, Jesus, that you'll meet those needs this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen and amen. I've been praying over Joseph for a little bit. I've been grappling the story of Joseph for a number of weeks now, probably a month or two, when I heard about your theme. And I really wanted to distill a few points and bring them today. And I really felt I landed somewhere in it because I really didn't want it to be disconnected, Genesis 37, to be disconnected from the journey that you are on as a family. I know that you've got Pastor Peter and Alicia here for the last 7 months, but I know there is a greater vision, a 5-year plan over this church that God wants to unfold by 2030. So how do we get to apply principles from thousands of years ago from a guy called Joseph to this generation here right now? That's my challenge. God bless you, but God help me. I was asking God, help me. But I really feel there's some nuggets in Joseph that will help us to ground our heart in the mission of this amazing church. I really feel that this church is about to take off into a new chapter of fruitfulness, because King Jesus expects us to be fruitful, amen, with our life in every area. I was looking at this story and thinking, okay, Joseph, what is Joseph? Who is Joseph? Why does it even matter? Yes, we understand the hardships and we think, yep, that's the message. But what is the motivator? We see this guy and we know that God is with him, because the Bible says that God was with Joseph in Genesis 37. We see him go through all of this trials and tribulations. And for what? And I was thinking, you know, Joseph and every Bible character generally in the Old Testament is actually a reflection of Jesus, replayed or played partly in prophetic, in the Old Testament. It's like a shadow of who Jesus is. If you look at Joseph, he comes on the scene and he's favored of his father, but his brothers are all jealous of him, right? You know the story, right? If you don't know the story, put up your hand and I'll give you more detail. But Genesis 37, he arrives on the scene. Then he's sold out and thrown in a pit. You see, Jesus arrives on the scene. People, the Pharisees, the people that were meant to love him, actually were jealous of him. You could see the favor of God upon his life. Then Jesus is sold out by people that love him, right? Joseph ends up in a pit. What is a pit? What does pit stand for? Person in training, right? If you're a pastor in training. But person in training. Then he goes through all of these stages, and for what? And then we see Joseph is in prison, then he's released from prison, and then he sits on the right hand of all power, which is Pharaoh. Jesus is captured by death, but he's released because he conquered it. And then he sits on the right hand of all power. Then Joseph, while he sits at the right hand of all power, Pharaoh, he starts making warehouses across the land. Not Bunnings warehouses, but warehouses. But what were the warehouses for? For the harvest. Yes, it was for food. That is right, it's grain. But the symbolism is the harvest. So Jesus is next to the right hand of all power, overseeing the deployment of warehouses across the earth for the harvest, so that they can contain people and there will be houses for people. And he is building his church so that people can get discipled in these warehouses and then go back out and deliver other people, right? And Joseph delivered the land. Jesus wants to deliver the land. Amen? Right? So the harvest is the key. And there is a harvest in this city. But God wants to build his church, line upon line, precept upon precept, and you matter in the process. Everything that does or doesn't happen in this church rests on you. Not, you know, when we were at Bible college, they said 20% of the people do, what was it, 100%, 80% of the work or something. Can I encourage you, how you serve matters in the strengthening of this house in order to open it up so that it can reach more people. Once the house reaches a level of strength. When we reach into the house can reach out more, right? I know there's a number of people here that wear different hats, but they wouldn't need to if we all stepped in, right? We've all got gifts and talents that need to be stewarded and laid down. But when we see Joseph, we see a process. You see, we all want the product, but we don't want the process. We want to get there, but we don't want to go through this. And I just pray that I've got 3 points I want to give you this morning that got Joseph from there to there. Now, here's the thing. Joseph started out a bit like a two-year-old. He was very immature. And I'm going to read the scripture just to give you a bit of context. Genesis 37. Now, Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers was the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zippah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And also he made him a tunic of many colors that represents the favor upon his life. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all the brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now Joseph had a dream and he told it to his brothers and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were all bind in sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose also, stood upright, and indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed to my sheaf." This guy sounds a little bit arrogant. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream, and this time the sun and the moon, even bigger, and the 11 stars bowed down to me." So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?" And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Here's the difference. We all have dreams, but sometimes we're a bit like Joseph. Joseph was very immature because in his dream, he was a bit like a two-year-old where, you know, a two-year-old, they are at the center of their dream. But when you look at how the dream plays out at the end, he might be at the center, but he's serving a nation, and the center of the dream is the harvest that delivers the people. And at the center of our dream, if we can't attach the harvest and capture the Father's heart, we are at the center of the dream. We all have dreams, but are they attached? You want a big kingdom, you've got to attach your dream to the harvest. I don't care what you do. You want to have a business and you say that's your ministry, is it attached to the harvest? Because that's his dream. And when we remove ourselves out, there are things that God has to grind in our life in order to carry and steward the authority he wants to give us, even if it's a national authority. I really believe that every one of you have been called to carry influence. But are we willing to get out of the way? Now, one thing I love about Joseph is that he had God with him. The Bible said God was with him. The funny thing was, even in the pit, God was with him. Even in the prison, God was with him. The challenge is, are we going to act like God is with us when we're in the pit and the prison? Because it's so easy to be tempted to act like God is not there, right? And then we lose our character. He might have lost his coat, but let me tell you, he did not lose his character. And it was his character development through the process, knowing that God was with him. God was able to trust him with great things down the line. The strength that is developed through the process is the strength required to carry the call at the end of the process. The strength we develop through the process is the strength required at the end of the process. Too often as a younger guy, I used to think, yeah, when I get there, I'm going to be like this. The issue is, am I like that now? Right? Because it's not going to change when I get over there. I actually have to go through this process. Person in training, right? He may have lost his coat, but he never lost his character. Each one of you has been called to grow in influence and authority, but you don't get authority unless you're under authority. We're in a generation that doesn't want to come under anybody. Kids don't want to come under their parents. They're rebellious. We come to church. You know, we don't want to, you know. And I understand if you've had a bad experience, but don't let a reaction cause you to walk in error from then onwards. We need healing in these areas in our heart so that we can safely come under healthy leadership, right? Because God has ordained that to be a blessing to us, not a hindrance to us. The first point I want to make is from Genesis 39. My first point was that Joseph could be trusted. He wasn't in charge, but he could be trusted. God trusted him. When he was in Potiphar's house, he was given governance over the house. But the Bible says that Potiphar trusted him over everything. And the only thing he knew about Joseph was the bread that he ate. Everything else, he didn't know the details. And I wonder when we come into team at church, whether the people that surround us say, yeah, I trust Pete because I don't need to know the details. I just know that he's going to take care of it. You know, let's just say we worked in the cafe together. I just know he's going to, you know, take care of it. It's going to be done. I wonder if people can say that about us when we step out and start serving in the house of God, to see this vision unfold, which is actually connected with the harvest of this area, right? It makes sense, right, that the house's vision is all about the harvest that we are called to steward. But it rests on the shoulders of every single one of us in this room. Potiphar trusted him. I want to encourage you, whatever you steward in the house, steward with passion. Steward because God is with you. And steward it because you are favored by the Most High God. Amen? And sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes we're going through stuff in our own personal life. But let's keep stepping to the plate and giving King Jesus our best. Right? Let's not act like Jesus is somewhere else. I think too often we can act like Jesus is somewhere else. When we come to church, when we worship, let's act like Jesus is here. He is here. He said, lo, behold, I am with you always. What does lo mean? It means hello. No, it doesn't mean hello. It just sounded good. You see, this guy was trustworthy. And here's the thing, it's all about growing in the authority that God has given us, even when we're not in charge. Matthew 25, verse 23, Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. Now I'm going to give you greater authority. I'm going to make you a ruler over much. Jesus gives high praise for using resources that were entrusted to the servant. Can Jesus trust us with the resource of this amazing warehouse? It is a warehouse, isn't it? It's actually a warehouse. This actually fits. Each of you got gifts and talents that are going to empower this house to be a powerhouse in the next season. I see more people in this church coming. This church is brooding with something that God wants to explode in this place. And you matter. What you carry matter. But God, can God trust you with it? Here's another little example from the scripture of someone who started small but grew in their national authority. How many of you know in 1 Samuel 38, David came to the battle with Goliath and his brothers really ostracized him and said, "What are you doing here?" What? They were actually ticked off because he was really inquiring about who this Goliath was. And you know what they said to him? "Just go back and look after your few sheep." Do you know sometimes what we have is small, and sometimes in the eyes of people it's small and it seems invaluable. But as David before he was king steward these few sheep, he learned some skills and he tells the brothers, "Hey, I've taken care of the lion and the bear." This guy was a reject. He wasn't even allowed into the army. He goes, "I'm going to take care of that giant because I've had practice in my private life on this stuff." And all these little things that we steward are practiced in our private life, personal life. It's getting our heart right. Right? And there's little things. You might think it's a small thing. You might be running something in church and you might think it's a small thing. You might be a part of a team and you might think that that's a small thing. It's not a small thing. You're learning some skills to steward and shepherd the things of God within a team. My first point was he could be trusted. My second point is don't get derailed in the process. Don't get derailed in the process. As a pastor, we've seen people who are planted all of a sudden get offended. Or let me tell you, there is someone in church that is going to say something to you and it's the exact thing you don't want to hear. And it's going to offend you. The amount of new people that have come in our church within a few months of, you know, probably weeks, the very thing that they left the other church for, I've seen people say the exact same thing and God is, you know, they're being tested somehow to be unplanted again. I know as a church, in the body of Christ, we got to get better at conflict resolution and being able to wrestle truth together and get breakthrough in our relationships when we disagree or when we've hurt each other, right? When we've said we do stupid things, we're sheep. We do stupid things sometimes, right? But we've actually, you know, when something's broken and it gets repaired, it actually gets repaired, like a bone or something, it gets repaired stronger than ever. And we get to build stronger than ever when we work through things, not run away from things, right? Don't get derailed. The Bible says in Genesis 40, verse 14, Joseph gets an opportunity to get out of the prison. He's faced with the butler and the baker, and he serves them in the prison, and he's grown in his authority in the prison, and he's serving the prisoners. And the Bible says he interprets their dreams and then he tells them, "Hey, don't forget about me. When you get before Pharaoh, remind him about me." Guess what? They forget. And the Bible says he was forgotten for 2 years and he had to keep serving in that place. Do you know that feels like church sometimes? You're looking around, "Oh, this person's getting promoted. That person's getting their dreams read and they're going forward with their life. Little old me is stuck here." I bet you Joseph felt like that. Well, those two got promoted. They get to go before the Pharaoh. When is my time coming? Let me tell you, if you ever feel like that, if you ever feel like you're forgotten, your time is coming. Your time is coming for breakthrough. Your time is coming where you're going to step into the fullness. God's got you in a place of development, but he hasn't forgotten you. Even if people forget you, he has not forgotten you. Watch what he does as we stay faithful, because that's what it takes to steward great authority. And if we quit down here, if we stop showing up down here, man, when we have the full package, we're going to quit up there. We don't change, but we develop the ability to steward what God's called us to steward really well with small things first. Amen? Are you getting something out of this? So good. So am I. He faced being forgotten, isolated, and abandoned all in one during those 2 years of being forgotten. And I can tell you, in the ministry, I felt all of those three things at times. I can tell you that when you serve in the house of God, you're going to come against those three in your life. But how we steward that is so important to what happens in our future. Let's not pull back. Let's put our hands to the plow and not look back, the Bible says, right? Yeah? Are you with me? Three people? Yeah, yeah, you're praying again. So good. The biggest thing I see about Joseph is that through every stage, he just seemed to be present. And I think that makes the difference. He was present. And I believe he acted like God was with him. Like the Bible says God was with him, but he acted like God was with him. He didn't act like a victim, right? You don't see him, oh, poor old me. You know, everybody hates me. Nobody loves me. Think I go eat worms. He didn't sing that in the pit or the prison. He just started serving people. Just started serving them, right? So don't get derailed, because that's a big part of the process, and that's where people fail. They fail to show up. They fail to be on time. They fail. Man, all of these skills are going to bless you anyway, so keep at it. The third thing I want to talk about was, the third point is, and I want to apply something I've seen in a lot of churches that have stepped into a new season. While some of you, like I don't know any of you here, but I want to tell you, some of you observing your new pastors, been about 7 months, you actually, I wonder how they are. I wonder what they're like. They're great, and now you know. But as this vision unfolds, we see Joseph be an early adopter in everything, right? Learn to sow early. Don't wait till the vision is done and dusted in 5 years. You can jump on then, and I know Pastor Peter and Pastor Alicia will be so happy whenever you do. But I feel that the best blessings, the greater blessings, are when we're breaking new ground together, not when the ground is broken and it's all done and dusted and the new vision has already unfolded. I believe it's when we break ground together, and we need to do that together. Be an early adopter. I say this because I've seen a pattern in churches. I've seen it in our church as well. We've been there like 9 years now. And I remember we're about 150 at the size of our congregation, but we were only 20 or 30 at the start, plus about 20 or 30 kids at the start. All of those people that just started building are now key leaders with authority and over territory in the church. They are solid. 9 years later, we had 30 at that time. Those guys and girls who started serving, they're like serving across the church. But I noticed that they adopted early in breaking new ground. There are people here right now, 5 to 10 years from now, you're going to be on a whole nother level because you stepped in. You didn't wait anymore. And I want to encourage you, don't sit on the fence. Step in and go all in, right? I want to close with this thought. When you think about your spiritual home, don't think of it with the absence of Jesus and his harvest. If Jesus all of a sudden ruled and reigned in Jerusalem, and then he sent Pastor Peter an email saying, can you give me a bit of a stop tape on how you're going? I want to know about every member of my church. And this is Jesus talking. And Pastor Peter, oh yes, Jesus. Oh. What would you like him to report back into Jesus about you? Like, honestly, Jesus, this is Jesus' church, people. And it's the very thing Jesus bled and died on a cross. Right? He died on the cross for this thing. This warehouse. How would you treat this church if Jesus emailed and said, I'm jumping on the plane. I'm coming on Sunday to minister. What would your attitude be towards the house? How would you serve? How would you worship? How would you do anything to do with this thing that Jesus calls is my church and I'm going to build it? And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's the kind of Jesus we want to build with, right? Can you say amen to that? A powerful church, a strong church, but each one of you, the Bible says that he sets you in position in the house to strengthen the house. He sets you in position. It's not about church shopping. I hate it when people say, I'm just looking around for a church. I said, put your shopping list away, go and pray, get a word from God, and then find the church you need to be, and then plant yourself there and serve it till it gets strong, until you get strong, until everyone around you gets strong, and watch Jesus be glorified. Right? I'm going to ask the musos to come. I'm going to leave you with one more thought. Can we be upstanding as I pray and I close? I want you to imagine this. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. The Holy Spirit is here this morning. The harvest of this city rests on the shoulders of each of you. I really felt this morning and I was praying and I wrote this down. The harvest of this city, the harvest of this city rests on the shoulders of each of you, saith the Lord. Empower this church. Don't hold back. Lo, I am with you always.